Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Yar episode of the Yarabong Yarlama. On today's episode, we leave the German party capital to hang out with the party beats of the jungle, and we evaluate some rocks on the way as well. Please enjoy the episode.
I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done being part of this society, Henry.
Oh my god. Here it is. He criticizes society. Let's see.
Yo, listen.
Yes.
How is it normalized for bachelor students, right?
Is this your 2 minutes of stand-up or?
No. This is my 2 minutes of ranting.
Okay.
How is it normalized to say to everybody, you can do this, buddy, you'll get there, right? And so whatnot. And then fuckload us with work when it comes to studying.
Well, you can do it, buddy. And then you have to just do it.
It's like professors just give you shit to do. They keep loading on you because they think that their course is the only one in the world.
That's
and then
real.
As a plaster, they just slap that you can do it, buddy, on the face. Spend more time on your studies, you're gonna be fine. Hopram! What you gonna do? Hit them with a 180. Like
real.
Or are you flexing on me now with your, well, how would I call this? You already finished your bachelor, right? So, like, you can
I'm
just...
I'm not flexing
you
at all.
A, you
I'm
have
just...
a high ground.
I'm saying it's true, and I agree, because, you know, it's not like I've never studied. We've been there, and I get that, and I sympathize with you, King. I mean, I don't have to do it right now, so, like...
And here also for the parents. One of the parents of mine are listening to this podcast once in a while. Mom, this for you. That you can do it, buddy, every time I call you also feels like the same plaster.
Oh my god, it's being called out. Holy shit,
Hella,
the drama.
I'm here to call out everybody. If we start calling out, you can bleep out the names, but fucking there's one Italian named...
Beep!
That fucking twat always asks me when it comes to debugging
Wait,
codes.
Wait, you buff fucker, 1 second. You said I should start bleeping out names. Just so say them, you sicko. That's extra work.
Okay. That was more of a tangent. But welcome back to the Vagabond Dilemma. The only podcast. What do we do that we are the only podcast of? I kind of didn't think of the sentences end.
I don't know. The only podcast recorded by... me? And you.
I don't appreciate the way you said you, but...
But you could also... It's...
It's okay. It's weak.
The only podcast recorded by... you? And me.
Well, I don't appreciate the way you said me now.
Why?
Because you are you! And me, well, I'm me. But then you have
the
to
only
say
podcast recorded
Actually,
by...
Actually, we talk about
you?
Missing explorers, and then we do a little bit of history, and then after that we do a little bit of improv, because this was a way longer introduction than it should have been. Now we are... What's the time schedule? Because we're trying to do the feedback thing that we received, right? Okay, we have 3 more minutes. Let's fucking
no.
go. The news! The news! Henry, the news!
You realize that's only the case because you've like pre-recorded like 5 minutes on your track?
No, it was, I deleted that, so it's fine. And now
we have
losing
way
time
more
again.
Time.
Wait, it's hectic, hectic! It's one again, hectic! It's out the window, Henry! We can't change! You know why we can't change? Because we shouldn't change, and we shouldn't change because we are too good to change.
This motherfucker has too much energy this morning. I just woke up. Spare me.
No, but that's exactly why I'm so high energy, because, you know, there's always has to be a balance between the cheeks.
Well, that's fair enough. All right, well... Ooh,
you motherfucker just yawning in the middle of a conversation?
Yes.
Any news? Because for the first time ever, as we are recording this episode, it is not happening right after the episode of the previous week.
That's true.
So, you better hit me with something that happened in your life.
I was a little sick boy.
You've
and then I got better.
Boy, but...
Well, on Thursday, my aunt and uncle came to town, and we had a little tour of Eindhoven, which was very fun.
Oh, are they
yeah.
Dutch?
They're German.
Ah,
but so they live here. They live here.
Okay, so wait, this was the first time in Eindhoven.
Yes.
Oh, very nice.
So this
very
was
nice.
A fresh tour.
So a little family time.
Yes, that was really fun. That was basically one day. And then yesterday, Friday, I spent the day in Maastricht. And did also another little tour there. So,
what did you do? In half a minute?
I was with a friend and we just...
fucked about?
Walked around the city, basically. Yeah, we visited a ton of stuff.
That's nice. That's so nice.
I don't know, it's been a quite active 2 days, I will say. So that's what's been up with me, my genuine update. What about you, Rudy?
I had quite some adventures very late at night because recently I've been so overworked with my bed that I arrive at home like around 8 usually. But, so yesterday, Friday, I thought I cut myself some slack, I'm gonna only work till 7. And then after that, I met up with somebody who I haven't seen in a long while, also a friend. And he has a passion project. He and his brother revived this old car, and for car enthusiasts, retro cars, a Trabant, which is a, I think... Well, it was known as a very Eastern European car back in the day. I don't know exactly where it is produced, but... It looks like a Lada, but just, you know, that type of a car. And boy, oh boy, what a joy it brought to me when I was riding in it yesterday. We were just chilling. That shit, you will hear it anywhere in the world, wherever it is. But you know what's friendly about it? It's...
Friendly.
Signal? Of course, I admit it's not eco-friendly. It's cool, it's retro. Its signal flare, whatever the sound it makes, is so neighborhood friendly. It's because you can only hear it in the radius of like 5-10 meters. After that, it's like if the car is coming down the road, you will hear the exhaust before you hear the signaling.
Oh, like that. I thought you meant like this is just some special technology, but it's just because the car is too loud.
Those cars are a proof of not smart but clever engineering. For example, for the oil to get to the because you have to, it's a two-stroke engine, you have to mix the oil with the fuel, and for the mixing to happen, literally it uses, there's no like pumping mechanism apart from Earth's gravity, because they're placed, you know, in different altitudes of whatever. So the engineering of gravity there, and also it's a car that any dumbass could fix if you would have one. It's literally like you'd open the hood. There's nothing much there. It's held together with pins and needles, basically. So, if it breaks down, anyone can fix it. And I know nothing about cars, but I looked at it and I'm like, well, if you would give me like 2 hours, I would probably figure out what all of these things do.
Right. Well, Rudy, then how about we get into the episode?
Right. I should have done something intro-wise, which would have led to the episode, but I didn't
do anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
Yes.
Have you watched the international baseball championship
okay,
recently?
So today, my explorer nailed it. Knocked it out of the park, Henry. My explorer.
Was that a baseball reference?
Shut up. No. No. You know that I like storytelling. It's an art that I would like to be better at. So, just a fair warning, ahead of the scheduled content. What we're gonna do today, I'm gonna tell you a little bit of facts about a specific dude on which there's literally, like, a paragraph in Wikipedia. It's where it clumps at. Then, I'm gonna do a story bit, which is, I once again rewrote something in more of a fairy tale kind of a scenario. And in that story, there's another legend. So it's a double rap today. And somewhere in between, just for you, I've made a quiz.
Okay, this sounds like a lot. So let's get into it then.
It's actually not that much, but it's just, you know, just it's a bit of it, a fair warning.
The concept sounds like a lot, just like...
It's a Russian doll. You know those things where you like open, there's a little one inside, and then you open, and there's...
Yeah.
Okay, then you find
consider those a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, today we are talking about Jean Ferrer.
Jean Ferrer.
Yes. And Jean Ferrer was a Majorcan sailor and explorer.
Ooh.
Born in Palma. So, and here's the kicker. No major historical sources of him exist or have been found. Mainly due to the fact that the year associated with him is 1346. So, understandably, back in the day, they didn't know how to write, and they didn't see the reason for it. No, that's not true, but...
I mean, you are right, though. Like, 1300, like, when, like, it's tough to get records before 1400, yes. I would say. So,
yeah. So, in fact, when I say little, the only discussed sources are those of him partaking in a very specific expedition. But of course, I, Rudy, the one and only, the showman, the storyteller, will treat you with a grand tale rather than two sentences of dusty facts. And that, and also a small thing is that the journey, the specific expedition I'm talking about, not only it is the reason that he is historically known, it's basically the reason why any historical facts about him exist, because. Apart, like if this person would not have done this, probably would never have been recorded as a, as you know, like as somebody who is worth of interest. Right. So now, Henry. Actually, I think it's better to do the no later. Okay. Now I want you to relax. Let's step into the world of pure imagination. Right. So let's start the legendary tale. A specific place that legends do talk about quite a lot, but it is associated with a bigger legend, and that's why this one gets overlooked sometimes. We all know the legend of El Dorado, am I right? The legendary city of gold. Some people say it used to be, it was in rainforests of Amazon. Some people believe it was in Africa. Some even theorized it could have been somewhere where Thailand's forests are.
Some believe the real El Dorado is the friends we made along the way.
Oh, so nice, but not part of my deal. But there's a legend associated to that for those who believe that El Dorado was in Africa. So let me introduce you to this. It is the general belief that nowadays most areas of the world are known, right? Maps are drawn. Depths are scanned and peaks are measured. So naturally, such occupations like adventuring or exploring seem to be somewhat of a fairy tale type. But there was a time long ago when that was most definitely not the case. Back then, to be an explorer meant to sail past horizons known and face whatever terrors may lurk around the corner. And as terrifying as that sounds, we sometimes forget that it was also the time when the world was still held together by stories of krakens, dragons, and lost cities of grandeur. So it is of no wonder that our own explorer, Joam, was driven crazy by one such tale. Nobody knew how they came to know it, but they did know that to balance out all the land in the north, there must be lands in the south. Romans believed that people there walked upside down, and Arabs spoke of lands where sun almost touched the ground. But the most known tale was one that tempted and indirectly killed hundreds of traders and adventure seekers. And it went something like this. So this is your transition to the tale within the tale.
Right. Can I ask, like, am I supposed to just be quiet and listen?
You can. This is the moment where you can talk something.
Now I don't have anything. I wasn't ready for this. I've been put on the spot. No, but I was just wondering, so, because if you want me to shut up, I'll just shut up and listen.
How about, as we see each other on cameras, I'm about to give you a signal. This is the signal when you can talk again.
Okay.
Because for the next bit, I'm going to go into the character. And then, you know, if you, I will physically hurt you if you get me out of character.
All right. Well, I do like the El Dorado stuff. It's always a good one, you know?
Yeah, it's always a tale that everybody likes, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean... I do think it's kind of random, like, why was it so many locations?
It's yeah, like... because I feel like it grew from, it started from a tale that was just like, you know, it's a myth, but then people started, you know, it's snowballed, and then everybody was like, I mean, to have a tale of a lost city, pure of, you know, like, gold and riches, anyone in the world wants that, right? So it just kind of transcended what it was.
Yeah. Oh, all right, fair enough. Go ahead.
So, now into the character. Seeking out adventures is meant for anyone, but the path to true glory might be harsh, and the road to become a legend, ruthless.
And for those seeking such ventures, here is one that promises riches or plenty. In the land surrounded by oceans, the land where the sun sits on their highest throne, there are forests. And those forests are not the forests you know up here in the north. No, those forests have grown since the beginning of time. Those forests which are the vastest in the world. Those forests where life itself sparked into being. And amidst those forests, there are rivers. Rivers that glide like snakes, are as long as the horizon itself, and roar like the behemoths of old. Rivers that hate, and rivers that give life. It's a land of pure horror, beauty, myths, and legends. And one of those legends is about one such river. To the west, where the ocean fights the land, there is a place where forests are as thick as a stone wall. Beasts so deadly that just one look and you run in fear. One must traverse the endless waters around the endless land. Follow the power of the sea. Reach the peak of the west of the Southlands, only to turn around the corner and gaze upon the glory of the River of Gold! A place shaped by the gods, where all life comes to feast. Humans and animals, mortals and immortals, all basking in the pure glory of this bonanza. The bottom of the river is of pure marvel. Gems instead of rocks, silver instead of weeds, and golden coins instead of sand. And at its end, the legendary Empire of Mali, the richest people in the whole wild world. Whoever would make it there would become as close to a god as humanly imaginable.
Like a beach with golden coins instead of sand, that has to be like really uncomfortable to walk on. Like way too hot, no.
I mean, it's the river, not the beach.
Didn't you say the sand was gold coins? Or the, I guess sand, that's in like...
Yes, it's a sand, how would you say this, bottom of it. But on a, okay, so I told this in a very, you know, grandeur type of way, but I have a small paragraph which will basically wrap this up in a, I guess, in more boring factual state.
In shit.
So yeah, for whoever didn't enjoy my way of storytelling, here's the dry facts.
It was a very nice way of telling it, Rudy, I will say.
Thank you
that.
Very much. This is how I imagined this going down. But to clear up some intricacies, here's the factual recollection of all of this. So Jean Ferrer set out to seek the riches promised by the tales of the River of Gold. So not the city of El Dorado, but the legend associated with the River of Gold. A.K.A., another name, as children I heard a lot, probably you too, the River of Limpopo. A.K.A., the Senegal River nowadays. In western part of African continent. He set on August 10th, 1346, and there isn't much after that, but geographic positioning would suggest that Ferrer probably sailed past Cap Bojador, which at the time was the non plus ultra, which in Latin means basically nothing further beyond, and after that he was never seen again.
Isn't this the same Cape? Fuck.
No, this is existing this other... Cape, you can look it up. Look it up right now.
No.
Because I remember last time we talked about a cape on the west of Africa and you doubted its existence. Well, I googled this one exists.
Alright, whatever. You little sicko. Trampling all over me. It's fine. So he went down the coast and that was... most that was ever seen of him again.
Yes, yes, but I can't leave you on this, Henry. We are not yet going into the grandeur of our own improv.
No!
Imagine seeing a river of gold, right? Imagine being John. So, I said that instead of rocks, it's all pure gemstones, right? Of the purest variety.
Yeah.
Here's the kicker. As a man, you can only... because gemstones, they're quite a heavy shebang. You kind of have to know what to pick to get the best out of it. If you are a maximizer, you know? If you want the best of the riches. And apart from, you know, people saying, oh, everybody knows the diamond is the most expensive gem. That's, well, There's multiple types of diamonds to begin with. There's rubies, there's opals, there's emeralds, there's amethysts. What if some of them are more expensive, what if are less? I don't know this, per se, so I think it would be hella nice to know what to go for, right? So, there's this website that I found, which, well, there's actually multiple, but this is the one where I found gems of somewhat pronounceable origins, and some of them are more known. I also found out that when it comes to gemstone prices, multiple sources list multiple different rankings. But the way they do those rankings, the way the criteria are met, are different. So I will state now that we will do a quiz of the top 10 most expensive gemstones in the world based on the price per carat. And do you know how much is one carat?
Yeah, it's like this big of a vegetable. Hey! No.
It's approximately 200 milligrams.
Oh, it's just weight? I didn't know that. 200 milligrams is 1 carat. Okay.
Right. So, let's start from the bottom. I will tell you a price. You try to guess a gem.
Oh, I don't know that many gems, so I'll try my best.
I allow you to Google this unless you are actually Googling rankings. Just Google gem names if you want. And we'll try to go through this quick. Some of these are something that you will definitely not know. But some of these are... if you, because, you know, I said there's multiple types of the same gem. So if you tell the gem itself, I'll count. So, in number 10, $9,500 per carat. What gem do you think this is?
Is quartz a gem?
It's not an expensive gem, I can tell you that much.
Alright, let's go with topaz.
I like the guess, and I honestly think that they look somewhat the same in some of their... coming into beings with the gem I mean here. But the gem I was talking about is black opal. One fun fact about black opal, it's extremely... It's like, you know, people always say it's a stroke of luck to actually find gems, as in, like, they're very rare and specific types and whatnot. But when it comes to black opals, it's actually a game of luck, because black opals, or I think any opals, they don't form in veins as other gemstones. So they form a single rock by itself somewhere in the ground. So it's literally you are, you know, you can't even follow a vein, but you have to dig somewhere and just basically stroke of luck if you find a gem like this.
That's pretty difficult.
It is. Most of them come from Australia, this black opal specifically. And most from Australia come from Lightning Ridge in New South Wales.
Alright.
Right. Then Grand Diderite is a gem that you wouldn't know, so I'm going to name it. Top 9 is 20k per carat. And it's
That's going up pretty sharply as well, then.
Exactly, and it's, I'm going to be honest, it doesn't look like much. It's somewhat pale green, like sea, like a turquoise sea color. It looks like a rock, that's it.
Right.
Now, 70k per carat, top 8.
Sapphire.
No, it is based on a very well-known historical figure. Name of it isn't based on that.
Historical figure gemstone? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, then I will tell
Leopold
you.
Lepidolite. I'm looking at the list. I thought it said Leopold. I guess, so now I have
no,
to run it back.
No, it's Alexandrite.
Alexandrite.
And it's kind of a, from the picture, it's kind of a, like a, oh yeah, we should probably describe these. It's a purple gem. It's a deep purple gem. The one I'm seeing in the picture.
Okay.
Then,
interesting.
$305,000 American dollars per carat. A gem that you will know very well.
Emerald.
Yes. Top 7 comes in emerald.
I'm a king for this one. I actually got it on time.
Hell yeah, brother. And although emerald is found in various locations, for example, Brazil, Colombia, Zambia, Zimbabwe, it's not one of the rarest, but I don't know, I guess people like emeralds so much that the price just goes up.
It look pretty, is the bottom line.
It does. And now we reach the big guys, the top six. $1 million American dollars per carat.
How does it go up so steeply?
It's gems. And this is, by the way, $1 million American dollars per 200 milligrams.
I'm going to go with ruby.
I actually will give it to you because it's a gem that I think one would somewhat mistake for ruby. It's a red diamond.
A red diamond.
So it's a diamond with a tint of red.
Okay. And what's the diff?
Well,
like, why is it this? Why is it red? And why are normal ones not?
I think that's the thing. I think geological community believe that it's mostly attributed to the diamonds. The diamond's color is attributed to gliding atoms in the stone as it is exposed to extreme pressure during formation.
Right.
But I remember reading it, but I don't, you know, don't quote me on this. Right. Now, 1.18 million American dollars per carat. Something you already mentioned today.
Sapphire.
No, it was a ruby. Like, exactly just what you mentioned last time.
Okay, well, fuck then, I guess.
Ruby might be my favorite gem, by the way. It's either a ruby. Now I forget. What's the blue one? Sapphire?
Sapphire, yeah. I like sapphire.
So I like those two. But the thing with rubies is, technically, usually rubies are not as expensive as diamonds, but rubies can go higher than diamonds if they're big. So I guess this list is counting quite some big rubies. And the most expensive rubies can cost upwards to 1.8 million American dollars. No, wait, the highest price, actually, I'm just reading now, known as the Sunrise Ruby, the highest price for it ever paid was 30.42 million American dollars for a gem.
Well, there
Holy
you go.
Shit.
I have that in my back pocket as well, so I might buy it.
1.19 million per carat. Number four.
Jade.
No, but this is also, I think, this is a gem that they made a movie about, because it's the most expensive type of this gem is a very popular gem.
Diamond?
Yes. So I'll give it to you, but it's a pink diamond. And it's incredibly rare to be big. And the only known one so far, which is known to be 100% flawless, was found in Africa, I believe, in South Africa. And it's called the Pink Star Diamond. It took tedious 20 months to cut the Pink Star, since any mistakes could have potentially ruined its one-of-kind Pink Diamond. And it debuted in 2003 at a public ceremony in, well, guess where? Monaco.
Of course.
And the price for this diamond was 71.2 million American dollars in 2017.
Million.
I think it was sold or something.
$1 million.
Exactly. Then in top three, there's a gem which I wouldn't call this a gem, but apparently it's on the list, so you would know this anyways. It's 1.8 million. Dollars per carat. It's serendipite, and serendipite is extremely rare silicate mineral, which was first discovered in Sri Lanka and whatnot. But as far as I understand, how would I say this? it's expensive because it's really, really rare, and it's hard to find because it looks like when you're mining it, it looks like any other, you know, thing in the
it
ground.
It just looks,
I guess,
like rock?
Basically, yes.
How bad is that? What a trash mineral. What a trash stone.
It's. I think it's one of those stones that is so expensive because of its actual atomic, you know, value, rather than it's the way it looks.
Okay, fine.
Number two, $3 million per carat.
Sapphire.
Jadeite. Which is a type of a jade.
I should have had that.
Right, well, this is, you all know about jadeites, I'm not going to read too much about it. And then at top one, $3.93 million, as in million American dollars. Henry, scream it from the rooftops.
Hiddenite.
Blue diamond, correct. No, it wasn't.
It's just diamonds, just like, what do you mean, just...
Well, anyhow,
I can paint my diamond purple, and it's like, whoa, this is crazy. This guy with 4 million.
The highest paid for this is $58 million American dollars. I think it's the Oppenheimer blue diamond.
Well, whatever. If you pay money for rocks, you're stupid. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, sorry. They rank up in prices quite a lot.
Yeah, quite a lot. Yeah.
Right, and now after this. We return to our river of gold.
River.
And let's do the improv, Henry! So, just to quickly recount, river of gold, Jomi first set, west coast of Africa, and we never know what happened after past specific cape. And if yes. You want prompt, there's the river of gold, there's the Mali Empire at the end of it, and nowadays is the Senegal River. Go.
So, what's the deal with Senegal? I mean, it's there. But where? Am I right? Oh, okay. Actually, I wanted to paint a scenario for you.
Go ahead.
Of three different ways he could have died that all are on the same, like, storyline.
Okay.
Say. So,
okay.
All right. What's he called? Jom?
It's Mr. Fede? J-A-U-M-E. Jom.
Yeah, Jom. Jom. Ah, oh, Mr. Jom. Okay, anyway, he was sailing down the coast of Africa, right?
Yeah.
Where's the Senegal River, actually?
Well, in Senegal.
Is it actually?
Oh, my God. It might be, Henry. Look it up.
No, okay, because the thing is...
It's one of the biggest rivers in the west of Africa. That's what I know. Okay, I don't remember exactly how many countries it crosses and whatnot. And as it's an African river, there's, you know, rivers of rivers upon rivers that come out of it, so...
Yeah. No, okay, I just had a quick look. It's fine. So he actually barely didn't have to, like, he almost didn't have to travel at all, because Senegal is, like, really close to...
Yes.
Or relatively close, let's say. So anyway, he's sailing down. What's that? He's in the water, in the ocean, he's looking inland, and... Is that some gold coins I see on the floe? So... The answer is yes. So he goes up. He starts going up the river, right? In his boat, mind you, because he wants to bring home the loot.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
And then one day it's like, whew. Let's calm down. Let's sit here for a second, you know. We have to chill out, get some rest, right? Goes to sleep. Then overnight, the gold river really starts coming out, let's say. And now when he wakes up, he's on the ship, in the middle of the river, and the river is gold, right?
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I want to...
Yeah, okay, I follow you.
Three, here you go. Three possible situations for this. Actually, I should have written them down, because I almost... Whatever. One, the gold, like, what's... The question is essentially, what's the state of the river, right? Because number one, it's liquid gold. Which means it has to be hot as fuck, so the kid.
Oh, you interpreted it as that.
Fire.
Okay.
Yes. See, now we're questioning the legend, but so it's just hot. It's like, yeah, this is why the River of Gold is like, wow, it's so cool, but at the same time, you just burn alive.
So. Oh my god! But he right? managed to go halfway across it before burning down.
Well, yeah. The only issue in this whole theory is, where does it start and where does it end? You know. I mean, the River of Gold is definitely, like, not an actual river.
I mean, no, it starts in Mali Empire, and they have so much gold, they just fucking boil the excess and just dump it into the river.
That's their version of industrial waste, but it's just pure gold. Alright, two. The River of Gold is solid, right? In which case, you're just stuck there, because, like, it doesn't move, it's just like a piece of land. I feel like this is what the actual River of Gold is, though. Like, just like some area that's filled with gold. It looks like a river, so you could call it River of Gold, but people interpret it too literally.
maybe. Okay.
But the gods of Africa coming back to show Jean, don't fuck with us, you know. This river is now actual, like, genuine solid gold, and now you're stuck.
So you somehow get across it whilst it's liquid, but then it solidifies and then you're stuck.
That's right. Over in the day, it's just a regular old river, but at night, when the gods come out and the beasts start hunting, it's like, oh yeah, we're going to freeze this motherfucker in his place and we're going to get his ass.
Yeah, now gaze upon your gold and die.
Yeah, exactly. Or four, this is basically, or three, sorry, based like on what you said earlier, the river is gold coins, in which case I guess you just sink to the bottom. Like, well, I guess it's not that, like, have you ever seen, this is kind of a tangent, but have you ever seen, like, this video of somebody in a grain silo, right? Mm-hmm. It's like all, like, separate grains, right?
Yeah.
So you would think maybe you just fall straight through, but in reality, of course, once you step on it, it, like, compacts the whole mass.
Yeah.
So it's not like you just slip right through, even though it's all individual grains.
Yeah.
So maybe it's okay, but he's still stuck. So whatever.
But it's gold coins, so he was like, yup.
He tried to bury it, or he tried to get his get out by putting all the gold coins onto a ship so that there's none left in the river.
And then it sank the ship. Yep.
Yes.
And now what he actually succeeded in doing is for the next guy who does this, all the coins were already nicely packed and tidied up in one place in the gold river. He just have to collect them now. This is a packaging ordeal.
My god, this is how Amazon started.
Oh my god. Jeff Bezos going across the coast of Senegal River. What's that down there shivering?
I sure wish I had a convenient way of shipping this home.
Oh my god. So what if I come up with a shipping business? No, but I know exactly what happened. Well, because, I can imagine it so vividly. So right. The way I imagine this river of gold, and I think how many people in the tale imagined it, is you imagine a normal river, and a river is mostly filled with water, but the bottom of the river is of coins, gems, and satin silks and whatnot, right?
Right.
So it's basically riches underwater.
Right.
So what happens? The guy's smart. Comes down the coast, and he's like, okay, all of this gold is like nice, but imagine the hassle of, you know, because I'm going to sink the boat if I try to get everything across at once. So I will have to go back and forth, but after the first trip, many people will know that this is actually, because it wasn't that far. From Palma to here, it's like, bruh, it's nothing. Across the loop, and people are just scared to go past the cape because the known maps are drawn, but like, it's nothing, bruh, it's just around the corner.
Yeah.
So people will start noticing, and then, well, people will steal my riches. So what should I do? And then I hear, Joam hears this tale of the Mali Empire down the river. It's like, okay, those people, they have so much money, they probably can build me a ship at least, you know, five times the size of this, or I could even stay there to live and just be rich. Why do I have to go back to Palma? But they probably also, you know, they right. won't let anyone just in, you know, because I am, well, who am I in this land? So,
right.
as a great story listener, he knows the many tales of the past. He recollects one. Namely, the Trojan horse from Romans, right? Or Greeks, or whatever it comes from. And for those who don't know, the Trojan horse is a wooden horse that one city, warring cities, gives to the other city. But in reality, the horse was filled with the soldiers, and the city accepts the gift. And once they reel the wooden horse within the city gates, the soldiers come out and ransack the city, and blah, 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 blah. So anyhow, he's like, okay, we're going to pull a Trojan horse on them. So, but I don't really have, I mean, I have a boat, but what if it backfires? I'm not going to demolish the boat. I don't really know the resources around here. So I come with this legend idea. Let's become a legend. Remember the story I told about the Russian dolls? The ones where, yes, like, you know, you go in, then you have another layer, another layer, another layer. So he looks at these wild beasts of Africa, and he's like, okay, if you stack them by sizes, this could prove to be something. So, and in the land of gods and immortals, everybody, of course, speaks. So he goes up to this crocodile. He's like, yo, good sir, open your mouth. I will. Here's a pyramid scheme. You do this for me, he tells the plan, and then you get money if everything goes well. Okay, so the plan is, he gets eaten by a crocodile. He's inside the crocodile as a hole. That crocodile goes to a hippo. Hippo eats the crocodile. That hippo goes to a lion. That lion eats the hippo. After that, the lion carries itself to an elephant, and the elephant carries itself to a rhino. The rhino eats that lion, and then the rhino gets eaten by an elephant. And then the elephant goes to the Mali Empire, and Mali Empire uses elephants as their pets, right? So they're like, oh my god, right. One just, it's free money, is just here, let them inside the gates. The idea is, the elephant goes within the gates, spits out the rhino spits out the lion spits out the hippo spits out the croc spits out Joam, and Joam is there. And it's the grandest arrival you would ever want, and Mali people would just be like, yo, holy shit, this dude's a magician or whatever, he's a legend. And only legends live here, so we must let him in.
This wasn't to sneak in, this was to make a grand entrance.
No, this because they will allow him to stay because of this grand entrance, because only legends are worthy to stay in Mali Empire. But one minuscule detail was that, unfortunately, he could have chosen any other animal, but to choose a crocodile for its thirst is not great, because if, for those who haven't heard, crocodile gut acid can even melt iron. So our poor John, by the time, I think, around the time when the rhino was supposed to be eaten by elephant, was already porridge within the crocodile. So the grand entrance was the gates open, the elephant spits out the rhino spits out the lion spits out the hippo spits out the crocodile, and the crocodile just throws up.
I was about to say.
The crocodile just throws up and there's nothing. And the Mali Empire was like, what the fuck just happened? I mean, let's get this crocodile doctor. He spit out some fucking, I don't know, like some gold coins or anything, but nothing else left.
And the croc was allowed to stay.
Exactly.
After.
And the croc is like, well, Jesus, thanks for this guy, Joam. So that's probably what happened, and that's the legend.
Oh boy. I like the part where, what was it? The hippo eats the crocodile?
Yes.
And then the lion, which is like twice as small, eats the hippo.
It was a big lion, alright? Back then in the day, everything was bigger.
Yeah, just like in the prehistoric times.
Yeah, exactly. The beasts of old, you know. You know how it be, homie.
Yeah, for sure. Oh boy. Well, Rudy, are we going to the resolution, or you want...
Yes, let's depart from our friend Joam. Mm-hmm. And the resolution is that if Ferrer did survive this trip, then this feat preceded the famous successful passage of Cape Boyador by the Portuguese explorer Gilles Enes, or whatever you pronounce that name.
Suck it, Gilles.
In 1434. So he preceded this trip by nearly a whole century. Unfortunately, as of today, this has not been confirmed. Despite the sparse information, Joam Ferrer is memorialized in his native city of Palma in Mallorca by a street name, a statue, and a relief in the town hall. And the fact, I still find it fascinating how they even found this guy to be a legend, because the first source of it was somebody looked at a book where somebody had drawn a world map of that day as they knew it. And then, you know how old maps, usually there's a lot of art going in. There's the map, and then in the corners there's like, I don't know, in the sea, the occasional kraken drawn or something like that. Now this map, in its corner, had Joam drawn with his sailboat and a year and a date attached to it. And somebody just drew this as a picture because as of the time of drawing this map, I guess this was a known thing that happened. And then somewhere later in the book, a passing reference that this day, this guy departed to look for the River of Gold. That's it. And that's all that they went off. And then after years, they're accumulating a bit more information, still sparse. But yeah, they basically confirmed that this guy did exist and he went to look for the River of Gold. But then that's it.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's
so nice. That makes me think, if that was drawn and it was real, the fucking Krakens on the sea drawn could have been real as well back then.
Right, but they're just a little bit shy, so they're just hiding out right now at the bottom of the ocean.
I mean, they could have just died. You could have just died. Anyways.
They could have dried out.
That's honestly probably... But I am the type of believer where, like, I could fully believe if somebody would come up with a scientific explanation that somebody back in the day, like, let's say in 1300s, would have seen a humongous creature that, not necessarily a kraken, but a creature like, I don't know, a species of a giant squid that existed back then and thought it's a giant sea monster. Because, listen, you remember the bird, the dodo, the blue chicken? You know what I'm talking about,
yes.
Right?
So for all chicken, my favorite.
Well, everybody thinks that chicken existed somewhat right after the Jurassic period, or like you know when the Ice Age hit. The reality is that bird went extinct in the late 1700s. It was still alive when you know like most of the exploration went on, and that's exactly why it actually died.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
It's not that big of a stretch for me for somebody to be like, yeah, there were some creatures that existed, like species of it, that just, you know, didn't survive.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, but hard to keep track, I guess. Right?
Yes, yes.
Well, Rudy, thank you for the episode.
Thank you for being such a wonderful listener. And I did like your three.
Please.
You basically, you know, as a chemist, you described all three states of a specific object. In this case, River of Gold. Liquid, solid, and then the third one was, what was the third one? You didn't describe gas, but it's coins we're talking about. So there's, you know.
What's a gas form of gold?
It's dust particles. The gold dust particles.
It's just gold is in the air.
Gold's
and when
in
he
the
breathes,
air.
It's. When he breathes, it's like micro particles that just pierce his lung and he
Jesus
dies
Christ.
Instantly.
Must have been gold. All right. But it's over now.
But it's over now.
All right, Henry.
Rude, thank you for listening, or here's the outro rather. Thank you for listening, everybody. if you want to send us a message, give us some feedback, tell us how good boys we are, send us a message at The Vagabond Dilemma, so just the name of the show, the entire name, including the Vagabond Dilemma at gmail.com. Or if you want to send a little bit more of personal hate mail, please contact Rudy at...
Please send me your gems, or if you're a gem, send me your address at...
Sheesh.
000, RUDYS 000 on Instagram. So that's 3 zeros, Rudy's 3 zeros. And if you are a Spotify listener for us, you can answer or give us feedback just directly from your cell phone or any platform you use for listening on Spotify. As long as you use Spotify, you can answer the questions under the episode description, which I think at the moment is, what do you think of the episode? And that's a feedback that even I might read, because one of our listeners did answer to one of the questions, and I did read that. Thank you for your feedback.
Thank you for your feedback, everybody. Good night. Bye.
Goodbye and welcome back to the Vagabond. Oh no, that's the next episode. That's a tease. I shouldn't have said this. Goodbye.